Hey everyone, and welcome to a special edition of the 8-Bit Geek. We're here, joined with our family and friends as we review Endgame. I'm Jeremy. And that's Kev's not. That's
I'm
Kev.
Kevin. That's I didn't Kev. Know what order we're going into. We're in the Lady Bunch thing right now.
Hey guys.
Yeah. I'm Peter.
And
we have Peter Kleins. Yay.
Peter Kleins.
Yeah.
Who has graciously joined us on all of our big time summer blockbuster reviews. I think just mostly Marvel stuff.
And Jason X.
And Jason X. Yeah, yeah.
Jason X.
That wasn't a blockbuster review, though.
It was for us.
Maybe not to you.
Okay.
Greatest movie in the franchise.
Hell yes.
Fine. We missed the opportunity to do Umbrella Academy, though. I feel like that date has passed.
It's been a struggle for everybody's schedules to kind of get together. It's a tough season right now.
Peter and I will just get together and talk about how much we loved it.
We'll talk about that.
Yeah,
we'll,
there you go.
We'll do our big Pokemon Detective Pikachu review.
Oh my gosh.
I am seeing that.
I can't wait.
Yeah. I'm going.
They've got me sold on it, and I'm not even huge into Pokemon, so I mean, no, I'm...
Exactly.
Paul is convinced it's actually a Deadpool movie. It's just, he's convinced. Like, it's just Deadpool masquerading as Pikachu or something.
Gonna, like, peel his head off halfway through.
Maybe. Yeah. We don't know. Surprise, bitches.
Yeah.
It's Deadpool.
Ryan Reynolds is just permanently Deadpool now. He's just, like, trolling the industry.
He didn't even try to do a different voice. It was just like, I'll just be me.
Just Ryan Reynolds being Ryan Reynolds.
Well, you saw that, Marvel now has Deadpool, the X-Men, all that. Mm-hmm. And one of the things they said is like, well, obviously we're going to throw out everything with the X-Men that's been done. We're throwing out everything with Fantastic Four. We're going to keep the Deadpool stuff. Ryan Reynolds is probably going to be Deadpool in the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Mm-hmm. Are they really throwing out everything with the X-Men though? Because like Dark Phoenix is coming out, you know, and I just... the one reason to not throw everything out is so that we don't have to watch the Phoenix Saga again. I'm so tired of it. I'm as tired of it as I am of watching Batman's parents die. So can we just move on?
I would like to think Marvel just do better. I mean, in the same way, have you noticed we've never even heard the name Uncle Ben with any of the Marvel Spider-Man stuff?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, literally, they haven't even mentioned Uncle Ben.
But we know. We've seen the initials. There's the initials on the briefcase.
We've seen the initials. We've had Peter talk about, oh, my God, everything Aunt May's been through in this past year.
Yeah.
You know, but...
Is that because they can't legally mention Uncle Ben?
I think they're just... We all know it.
Yeah.
And they're just sort of making a point of why hammer it home.
Marvel does that quite well. They if you know the story, they move on. They don't dwell on it. Yeah.
However, DC just they're like, hey, by the way, we're DC. Batman's parents died, by the way.
Hey, did you hear that Batman's parents died? And there's like this really cinematic shot of like pearls falling in an alleyway. Let's watch it 20 times.
It's the internet meme of that kid that's like posed with his veins popping out of his forehead. It's like 5 minutes have passed and he hasn't told you Batman's parents have died.
They do it again on Gotham in the last episode.
Oh my god.
So, multiple times.
Is it the same thing? Is it the pearls falling in slow motion? Oh my god.
Always try to find some new artistic way to do it.
And they're going to do it. They're doing the new, what is it, Pennyworth series?
I bet
big bucks. What do we want to bet right now? That's how that series ends.
Yep.
That the last shot of Pennyworth will be pearls hitting the pavement right there.
Oh man.
Anyway, back to Marvel.
All right, so Avengers Endgame. So the way I kind of want to start this is because it's a lot of movie to get through. So, you know, Avengers Infinity War left us going, oh my God, they just lost. And we were all kind of shocked and like going, well, how do they do this? So what were your expectations of Endgame? And like, cause you had a year to think of like, well, this is how I think they're going to do it. Like there's definitely, these are the people who I think die. Like, this is how I think they wrap it up. And how did that act? Like, how close were you to getting your version of Endgame as you watched the movie?
Well, I deliberately spent time not trying to build out a story in my head, because I just knew they weren't going to take it the way, because I've read the comics. Mm-hmm. I know how it ends, right? Like, I knew before the movie came out how it was meant to end. And I didn't want to sit there and try and create a narrative that would either disappoint me if it wasn't what I wanted, or I don't know. I would just feel disoriented by that. But what I knew was I had a pretty strong sense that we were going to lose Tony and lose Steve. And I knew that Captain Marvel was going to have to play a pretty significant role, because Adam Warlock never panned out, right, as far as a character mentioned in Marvel Cinematic Universe. But I was not prepared for a lot of what happened. And I deliberately didn't try and build a plan around what each character would do. I wasn't prepared for Nat either. I was really not prepared for the Natasha storyline. I don't know. How spoilery is this? This is like super spoilery.
Oh, yeah. This is full on spoiler.
Anything spoilers.
Goes? Anything goes. All right. Yeah. So I personally, you. I walked into I said, okay, this is.
Saying that, let's give anyone like 3 seconds to shut this off really quick.
Yeah.
Spoiled shit, so yeah, sorry.
When I post it, I'll make sure that there's a spoiler.
Spoiler.
But I thought we were going to lose Captain America. I thought he would die. I thought that Tony would live and actually take over the role of kind of where Nick Fury is, right? And just be kind of, because he's such a prominent figure in the MCU, I figured that they would use him to have cameos every so often and be kind of the leader of S.H.I.E.L.D. or whatever they would, you know, morph into. And so I thought that those were the two major plot points that they were going to hit. And I did think time travel was going to be a part of it. I thought that... They were definitely going to have to go back in time. I thought that Captain Marvel was going to be the one to wield the Infinity Gauntlet. That didn't pan out, which was surprising. And that's what they did the entire movie. They just surprised the hell out of me with every choice that they made. And so that was. That was my thought about what happened and where I thought it was going. Pete?
Like Windrus, I'm sort of in the category of I read the comics when they were coming out. So I, because Infinity War was kind of like a cinematic version of the first half of the Thanos quest and the Infinity Gauntlet storyline from the comics, I had kind of figured that, okay, they're going to try and do it in kind of the same way they did in the comics. And so I honestly was not expecting time travel. I was thinking at best we might get like a time rewind of some sort. And I figured, honestly, what I had pictured happening was that Cap would die wielding the gauntlet. That he would be the one to put it on because he's the pure of mind. He's the one guy we can trust. Isn't going to say, and I want everyone back and $1 million. That he would just be that focus, that pure about it, and would burn up. Cause that's the other thing that they've really built up in this, is that the wielding the stones, wielding the gauntlet is dangerous.
Right.
I mean, in the comics, it's a glove and you stick it on and you're all powerful now. That's right.
It does mess with you, though. Like, it warps your mind.
It does, because, I mean, you've suddenly got infinite power, infinite awareness, everything. But it's not like, oh, my God, if you stick it on and you're not the most powerful being on the planet, you're going to explode or something.
That they like had set expectation in like in the first Guardians of the Galaxy, just Peter holding on to one stone nearly killed him, right?
Oh, yeah. And I mean, when the Collector is giving his little speech about how, you know, 10,000 years ago, a group of like 6 scientists managed to wield the stone for a minute or something like that.
Right.
And then it killed all of them. So that was my thought, that Cap was going to die and all. And honestly, I was thrilled that the movie just there were, like, again, yeah, there were parts that totally caught me off guard, but it went in directions I was not expecting at all, just again and again.
Yeah. And weren't there so many moments where you just shouted? I just shouted in this theater. And I don't know about you guys. I'm a shouter. But
well, then don't go to the Alamo Draft House.
Why? What happens if you shout in the Alamo Draft House?
I mean, if you basically make a peep, you get kicked out of that place.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Yikes. I can't go there. I screamed in parts of this movie. I was so excited.
I squeal. I gasp a lot.
I gasped so many times in this movie. Kev, what did you feel going in? Like, how did you think this was going to play out?
And we talked about it on the show before, and I said the same thing. I thought Cap was going to go because we've been talking about this for a few years, especially with the actor that got hired as Bucky as Winter Soldier. He had like way more movies planned past Captain America, so we thought he would be the one to kind of wield, get the shield afterwards. And then we started seeing the Disney Plus stuff where kind of like Winter Soldier is going to have his own TV show and it doesn't seem like he's going in the direction of Cap. So to see like Steve hand off the shield to Sam
Falcon was
fucking beautiful. Mm-hmm. And once again, I will say this, just the head in summary, nod
from Winter Soldier.
It was, yeah, and it was beautiful because I loved the relationship, at least in the MCU, between Sam and Steve. Like, they were always competing with each other. Like, it seemed like that was, like, the modern-day Bucky in a way, where he was, like, he had his back, and he was always, like, they were there for each other, and they were, like, good friends. So I could see the passing of the torch that way. And plus, I couldn't picture Bucky at this point as, like,
yeah, after Civil War, the window for Winter Soldier to be Captain America passed.
Yeah.
But since the comic books has had Falcon as Captain America for some time, and so I actually really I did expect that. I had a feeling that the torch was going to pass to Sam, and I was looking forward to that because there's a whole lot of social commentary in the comics where he's Captain America, and I'm intrigued to see if Marvel's going to step up and do that in the films. So
why not?
After this movie was huge on social commentary. I think to empower mostly women and people of color in so many prominent roles and so many main badass moments in this movie, I loved it to death. And at the same time, I was thinking, I was like, oh man, like those people who love, like those conservative folk who love to complain about, like, you know, women in movies, or, you know, oh, black people get all the roles or something like that. I was like, their heads must be exploding watching this movie, and I fucking love it.
Well, you know, they twisted it with Fat Thor.
Yeah.
Okay, first of all, I think Thor stole the show. I think he was by far my favorite part. My favorite character in the movie. Oh my god, I laughed so hard.
And Ragnarok has helped him so much.
I truly felt for him too. I could see that struggle. Like, it was funny, but at the same time, he wasn't a joke. Like, what he was struggling with was real. And him being able to see his mother was really gratifying. You know, that's the thing, is this movie felt like the Russo brothers went out and found the most successful fan fiction writers they could find. And were like, what would you do if you wanted to tie everything up with a neat, tidy bow? You know, like, give Cap Peggy, give Tony his conversation with his father, his ability to have a family, his ability to save Peter, his ability to save the world, right? Give him peace. Give Bruce the ability to become one with the Hulk and live harmoniously with him, although I have a lot of comments about that. and give Natasha the opportunity to wipe the red out of her ledger, right? And truly do something that saves her family and the world, that matters enough that she thinks that she's balanced the checkbook. This was 100% fan service in my mind. Like, this movie made, I cried almost nonstop through this entire movie. Like, I will probably cry again, and I'm getting a little bit like emotional right now because just thinking about it, it really met all of the requirements for a fan who has just lived as a fan their whole life. And man, it blew my mind. It blew me out of the water in so many ways. And I screamed when Steve wielded Mjolnir. I screamed out loud.
All of us did, yeah.
That's what I'm saying. I would have been kicked out of Alamo City, because the draft house, because I was just like hooting and hollering. I was so excited.
Oh, man.
I think, oh my yeah, God. I think and that again, part
something
was.
They set up way back in Age of Ultron.
Yeah, yeah.
They even hint.
Long game. It.
And that's why, and then that's why even Thor's is like, I knew it.
I knew it.
Yeah. It's one of the things I loved about this, that there were so many wonderful little callbacks. There's very little in this where you can say, oh, they just pulled that out of nowhere. Everything in this is a payoff of some level from all the time travel stuff pays off really nicely.
They did that really well.
Oh my God.
I was
Bruce
really
gratuitously smashing.
Yes. Like, and even saying it feels really gratuitous.
But I love that they were bashing out Back to the Future for that too.
Well, that's, oh my God, with all the crap they were giving Back to the Future, and then we go back and find out, oh, they're going to be here at the same time the battle is going on with the original Avengers. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh crap, is this going to be like, we're going to do a Back to the Future thing and find out that, oh, when you saw the Hulk there, it was actually this Hulk and that was this, and you know, like have them sneaking around in the background all the time. And I like that they just tossed it all. Like, screw it. Hulk's going off and he's going to have this whole long scene with the Ancient One and Cap
that
in the tower.
Great, by the
Cap
way.
In the tower with the Hydra guys.
And Cap in the tower with Cap was.
And
so
Cap
weird.
In the tower with Cap. And
America's ass. Yes, America's ass.
It is America's ass.
And I still have so many questions. Where is that Loki? Where is that Tesseract? I still have a lot of questions about that because that starts to mess with things.
That's it. I think they're kind of just asking you, buy it. Time travel is going to be wibbly wobbly in this. And I mean, Nebula kills herself. Mm-hmm. Nebula shoots her younger version.
But they explain that. They set that expectation of we're now in an alternate. That future is a different future from the past future. So. Yeah. You can't. I bought it. I was like, oh, yes, Ruffalo, I believe you.
Yeah, that's it. I think that is their great way. It's like, look, this
Don't
is how it's happening.
Close.
Yeah, right. But now at the same time, okay, Loki's alive. Loki's out there somewhere.
Some iteration of Loki.
Gamora's alive, and she's out there. Because it's like, okay, here's a question, because my partner and I talked about this a lot. So the Hulk brings everyone back. Banner wields the gauntlet, brings everyone back, but we're bringing them back now. We're not rewinding time. We're not doing anything.
Correct.
And so we just started thinking like, okay, so let's stop and think about this for a minute. Are we bringing everybody back right where they were?
Paul asked this question too. Like people in planes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So did a bunch of people just appear like 3 miles up in the air and plunge to Earth?
Because that's a really good point. Because Peter reappeared exactly where he was on an alien planet.
Right, with Doctor Strange and the Guardians. And
So we asked that question too. We were like,
it kind of implies that. And then like, okay, at the end of Avengers or at the end of Infinity War, we saw things were like, okay, the pilot of this plane vanished and the plane crashes into a building. So everyone on the plane dies. So did all those people come back or just the people who turned to dust?
No, it just would have been the people that evaporated.
You know?
I think that there's still some, I mean, there's going to be
mass casualties.
Yeah. There's going to be mass casualties for it. But I think that most people have come back and returned safely.
Yes.
Yeah.
Clearly everybody that we were concerned about returned and was not in a weird place. And apparently they kind of implied that a huge portion of Wakanda had been evaporated and has returned. Well,
and also like one thing we were talking about at the end, apparently Peter Parker's entire high school turned to dust.
Right.
That's what it seems. That's what that seems like,
since,
right?
Since they're all the same age now.
Right. Well, that's what I thought about.
Flash isn't
Ned's the same age.
Ned's the same age,
and we've seen the next movie. We know Mary. We know MJ is. We know
they're all
Flash
the same grade.
We know Betty is. Yeah,
which is not entirely impossible, I guess. Like it is. I mean, the 50% thing has no rhyme or reason, right? It's random.
Yeah, it's 50% of the planet.
Right. So we can't say it had to be 50% of every single family because it didn't even work that way.
Because we saw right in the beginning of the movie, Hawkeye lost all of his family.
Everybody. Yeah. And Tony lost nobody.
All of the pins vanished.
Yeah.
the entire Pym family vanished.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So.
Oh, side note: can we talk about how awesome that technology is to make Michael or to make a Kirk Douglas? Was it Kirk or Michael? I always get those two confused.
Michael.
It's Michael, Michael Douglas.
How to make him look so young in that little Hank Pym scene?
Oh my god! It blew my mind.
The tech,
which
tech
I also love, because all the stuff when they've de-aged him and Michelle Pfeiffer, we know just what they looked like at this point. What did Michael Douglas look like back in the 80s? He looked like that.
Go to Wall Street.
What did he look like in 1970? He looked like that. Holy
I was really impressed with that technology in Captain Marvel with Samuel L. Jackson. I actively tried to look at it and go, where's the flaw? And I couldn't. It tricked me the entire movie.
It looked very natural.
Yeah. And so
fair, Samuel Jackson does not look markedly different now than he did when he was younger. Like, yes, he does look older, but it's not like Michael Douglas, who looks very older. Different between now and then. You know,
Samuel Jackson has a different haircut. Mm-hmm. He's got some gray, but really, if you look at him in this and you look at him in like The Long Kiss Goodnight, which was 95, 96.
Pulp Fiction. I mean, there's a lot about him that look, I mean, the hair, obviously, but a lot about him looks very similar. So, but yeah, that the technology was great. And also shout out to the CGI that merged Mark Ruffalo's face with Hulk, because I felt like I was watching Mark, like the way he would hold his mouth and the way he would say things. I was like, this is spot on Bruce Banner merged with the Hulk, you know?
The only issue, hold on. Before we get into that, I just want to say the only CGI issue that I've had with the Marvel Universe, and it goes all the way back to when Robert Downey Jr. started using CGI for the Iron Man suit. Mm. I can always see the CGI with the suit, and it drives me absolutely crazy.
Even in this movie,
because you could see the neckline and you can see how it doesn't really match, and it just, there's just something about it that just looks unnatural, as to where, you know, he, in some scenes it looks great because they actually put the chest piece on him for like the close-up shots, but everything else is just, I just look at it and I'm like, ugh. It's the only thing that bothers me, and I don't know.
We rewatched Infinity War for this, and at the end of Infinity War, when they're all sort of standing, or like the survivors are standing here, oh my god, everyone's dust, and Bruce is in the Hulkbuster armor, is like the worst CGI shot I think in the entire
cinematic universe. I did not like the Hulkbuster CGI. Mm-hmm.
It's not even the Hulkbuster CGI itself. It's the suit with the helmet open, so you can see Bruce.
Yeah, like sitting that's out what the makes top. It bad. Yeah,
and it looks like they photoshopped him in.
Yeah,
like at the last.
They very well might have, because I would say Bruce Banner's character has been an afterthought from Infinity War onward. Like they've kind of been like, well, we got to do something with Hulk now, and that was my. I think that's the only issue I have with Endgame. It's while I enjoyed very much so. Sort of, I'm going to go ahead and call him like Indestructible Hulk, because that's very similar to what they did in the storyline in the comic books, where they sort of had him go into a lab and make peace with himself and manage to merge himself into a hulked out version of Bruce Banner. Smart Hulk.
They actually did it years before that. Peter David had like a 5 or 6 year run.
But that one didn't stick. It didn't stick, right?
Well, just because this one's still going on doesn't mean it's going to stick.
That's fair. Well, they killed him then, and then he came back. Anyway, so I'm down for that, and I loved the storyline of what we saw, but I have a real issue with the fact that he was sort of a sidekick in Infinity War. There was no addressing the trauma he had experienced. There was no addressing the fact that he'd been stuck as Hulk for 2 years on a foreign planet, more than 2 years. And they didn't address any of that. And then we get to this movie, and all we get is exposition about how, oh, well, I went into a lab. I locked myself in a lab until I figured this out. And now I'm super happy. And my entire character arc and growth arc is done. And I'm just content. And I'm like, wait a minute. We didn't get to see you coming to peace with who you are. We didn't get to see you forgiving yourself for all the damage you've done. You didn't get to see you forgiving Hulk for trapping you in his body for several years. I mean, we didn't get to see anything for him. You know, we witnessed all this character growth for Tony and Steve and Natasha and Hawkeye, and we didn't get to see any of it for Bruce. He just was already in a state of doneness when he got to this film. And I have a real problem with that because I think that Bruce is worth exploring as a character, and they just do a terrible job every time doing that.
I think that is probably I absolutely love the 5-year jump that we go 5 years later. And I think it was an incredibly bold and brave thing to show a world that
horrified me initially.
Well, that was it. I mean, the whole idea, because I went into this thinking
5 years
and they'll figure this out in like a couple days, you know, like within a week or two of the snap, they'll have figured out how to beat Thanos. And so, 5 years later. But I think that is it. We did skip over a lot of stuff of, you know, seeing Black Widow sort of sink into this desperation to be able to do something, to see Hawkeye slip into this basic ongoing blind rage that he can't sate, to see, like you said, to see Hulk come to terms with everything, to see Thor go from being I'm the guy who's going to save the universe to I'm the guy who only shows up for beer shipments.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, it was cool stuff. At the same time, I kind of get why.
I mean, I know we couldn't show all of that.
Right.
I feel like Bruce got the worst of it. Like, he got the smallest amount of shown growth out of all of them, you know, and
it just goes to show they do need to explore a movie with him if they want to go that route.
They never will, because they've tried three times and it doesn't make any money. It's not been a good movie having been made, and I don't think they're going to try again.
If anybody can crack the code, I think Marvel can.
I would love a future state one where he's working with S.H.I.E.L.D., because that's what he does in the comics. Once he sort of becomes a harmonious individual, he then goes and works for S.H.I.E.L.D., and Maria Hill is his handler, and it's awesome. Like, nice. I would highly recommend that as a film. But who knows? I mean, they've got the new guard now. Like I'm complaining because this is the only thing in this entire movie I can complain about. Everything else was amazing. I have no complaints otherwise.
I really hope that Thor is a part of the Guardians in Guardians Volume 3. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that whole bit at the end, his line, the Asgardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, that was a comic, right? That was a comic.
It is. That's an actual comic going on right now.
It is.
Oh, that's awesome.
So
I love it.
I'm really intrigued to see Guardians 3 now.
Yeah.
More so that James Gunn apparently is back on it.
Yes, he is. So.
We'll see who's the leader by then, too. You're the leader. Right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We all know who the leader is.
God, he's so good with comedy. Like, he nails it. Like, Thor stole the show for me, because I just couldn't stop. Every moment he was on screen, I was just like, this is amazing. This is just great. And I guess Natalie Portman, I was like, oh my God, they actually got her to come back. But they actually used footage from...
Because she gets credited in the credits.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I thought she did.
That's from something that I was reading up on with her in that movie, is that they used it from like Thor,
Dark World.
Yeah.
So, which was interesting.
My question is, how did they get the Infinity Stone back in her?
We'll return it.
And keep in mind, Captain America's the one. So Cap had to walk up to her and say, "So excuse me for a moment."
Wasn't a raccoon this time. Yeah.
Well, they do extract it in Dark World, don't they?
Eventually. But I mean, the whole...
But they need to go back to that exact moment.
Exact moment, so it doesn't disrupt history.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So. I'm pretty sure that some of that was undoable, because like the whole losing the initial Tesseract and then going back and getting the other Tesseract, mm-hmm. like that's already screwed up.
Well,
if you
go back...
No.
And if you go back to the 70s and grab the Tesseract and then bring it back right there, then that would essentially fix the timeline.
Does it totally undo what they already had done?
I would say yes, because that would play out the same way.
It's feeling a little timey-wimey. I'm not sure.
There's a lot of timey-wimey.
Because, again,
yeah.
Going further in the past does not undo what you already did in the future, remember? That just becomes your future past.
Well, no, when he got the time stone, she was like, if you play them back, then the timeline resets. And so, right, I mean,
but I think she's talking that the Tesseract fractured twice, mm-hmm. and we're putting one of them back.
Yeah.
But that other fracture still exists because they can't undo the fact that they went into the 2000s past.
Yeah.
But I guess the interesting point is, what does, from a history point of view, he said, finger quoting history, from that point on in Avengers, what did the Tesseract really do? Mm-hmm. It went into the vault and sat there until Loki stole it, where it didn't do anything until Thanos got it.
There's a fake one in Thor Ragnarok sitting in Odin's vault. Is that fake or is that real?
No, that's
real Tesseract.
The gauntlet. That was in the first gauntlet
sitting
movie.
In.
No, that gauntlet's fake.
Right. Yeah. And
there's
it.
A Tesseract that's real.
Yes, which Loki steals at the end of Ragnarok. Right. Right. Okay. But my point is, Loki ends up with the Tesseract, which is where we are right now.
So he always ended up with it, so it didn't matter.
Right. So basically, like, either it sits in Odin's vault and does nothing, and Loki ends up with it, or Loki steals it now and ends up with it.
Yeah. So
yes, but it changes what S.H.I.E.L.D. does about it, because if S.H.I.E.L.D. loses it then versus later.
S.H.I.E.L.D. didn't lose it then. S.H.I.E.L.D. never had it, remember? Thor and Loki take it home at the end of Avengers.
Oh, that's right. Okay, mm-hmm. Well, then I guess... Yeah. It doesn't matter.
No. Or they could use that.
I had the same conversation about the shield, because we know that the shield was destroyed, broken in half basically by mm-hmm. Thanos during the fight, but then old Steve shows up at the end of the movie with a fully whole shield, and I'm like, where does that shield come from? Because basically that Steve was coexisting with another Steve through a lot of the timeline.
But they also had a couple prototypes of those shields, so
true. It's so I was possible. Like, is it a prototype shield? Yeah. I don't know.
It's possible that there was another one. Like, made.
Which shield is that shield? Did he take it off of the other Captain America? Like,
for all you know, he got a new one made in Wakanda at some point.
That could happen too.
Except that Steve has been flying under the radar through this whole timeline. We didn't know about that Steve. I mean, that's the implication.
No, he's just been watching.
King T'Chaka didn't know him. No, T'Challa's dad.
Maybe. Perhaps.
I mean, he got hooked up through Peggy. Yeah,
there's a lot of possibilities.
That's what I think, is that Peggy got the hookup. Peggy had to keep the secret of a second Steve mm-hmm. all of this time, too. Mm-hmm. So I'm very intrigued by that. Because she was already like the director or like the co-founder of S.H.I.E.L.D. by the time mm-hmm. he would have reappeared. So
what I like is that...
Well, we don't know when he reappeared, either.
No one notices... Dude's sitting on the bench the entire time, and they're like,
"I think he sneaks."
Wait, there he is. And it's been what, 5 seconds?
We're working a time machine. There's a guy sitting there looking at the lake. Who cares?
Well, that's a very good question, because here's the other thing too. He looks quite old, and I personally think it would take longer than the linear timeline for him to age that much, because the super soldier serum slows down his aging. So how long has he actually been drifting around the time stream alive?
Well, he could have spent years trying to get one of the stones back to where it belonged.
True.
You know, and
but
like,
we see how old he looks when he's with Peggy.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't look that much older.
But we also don't know when that is. I mean, for all we know, Peggy flew home from the States, flew home to the States after First Avenger mm-hmm. and got home and Steve was waiting in her living room.
Well, that would have, I don't think it could have been that time, because it would have affected how she founded S.H.I.E.L.D. I think it had to be after she had founded S.H.I.E.L.D. with Howard for the timeline not to be a little bit messed up.
Maybe. There's, again, if we start examining it too close, because like, okay, one thing I noticed that I loved is that it's actually James Darcy as Jarvis.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think is probably the only time the movies have acknowledged the TV shows.
Mm-hmm. No.
That we're acknowledging this is Jarvis.
I did wonder if it would be Paul Bettany, if they're gonna like make Paul Bettany old or something.
Well, no, but James Darcy was Jarvis in all the TV shows.
Yeah, he was in the TV show Agent Carter.
Right.
Yeah.
But the thing is, so if we're acknowledging that Agent Carter, then aren't we acknowledging that she married what's his name, the guy with the crutch?
Don't cross those streams.
Maybe Peggy's a little more open minded and just
I doubt that.
He was a side piece.
Yeah.
Steve is Friday, Saturday, Sunday husband.
I don't know how that pans out. I bet you've heard MCU people say that the TV shows don't always
align.
Because like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. does not align with what's going on here either, really.
It did at first, until Winter Soldier.
They kept trying to do things. It's just that it was very one-sided.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, like, okay, two cool things that I've noticed in recent years. Are you guys kind of caught up on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. more or less?
I gave up after like season four.
Four is Ghost Rider.
No, okay, so after three.
I liked it before that.
After three, I was like, all right, I'm done.
After Coulson kissed May and died, I gave up.
Well, that just happened.
Okay, but, well then I'm caught up then.
But season four of Ghost Rider, with Ghost Rider, there's a bit at the end when I just blanked on his real name, the Ghost Rider's host or whatever. But he basically goes, like, I'm going to take the Darkhold away. And they're like, oh, do we need to open the gate? He's like, no, I've learned some stuff. And he takes his chain and he starts spinning it and it makes a sling ring gate. Like an actual Doctor Strange. It's the same.
I was going to say a strange way to the other side. Like, how'd you learn this?
Yeah. And so he does that, boom, and he walks through off to wherever he's going. And then in the last season that they just wrapped up, where Coulson died, one of the whole thing is all the aliens who are like, oh, we've promised to protect Earth. Oh, no, you're fucked. Thanos is coming to your planet.
Yeah.
What?
Okay.
No, you're screwed. Bye.
Yeah. When that last season of Agent S.H.I.E.L.D. 2, I was trying to wrap my head around the significance of the Kree there, because I know Carol Danvers is half Kree. I know that, but I don't think that's actually the case.
But she's not anymore.
Well,
in the comics, she is.
In the comics, she always was. But I don't know. Like, I still have a lot of questions about that, because her mother is never mentioned, and her mother is the Kree person in the comics, and her mother is never mentioned in the Captain Marvel movie and in the MCU verse. Like, and only the only thing they mentioned about her dad is that they didn't see eye to eye. They didn't get along. So I don't know. But it doesn't align well with the depiction of the Kree in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. at all, right? Like, that's because they're just sort of jerks. I mean,
but they are jerks. I mean,
well, yes, but anyway, so yeah, I mean, we can bend ourselves into knots, but you know, it's not like the comic books are any better. They contradict themselves all the time. Yeah. So we should just be like, we love it. It was great. I made a list of all the times.
It's a perfect comic book movie.
It is. Yes. It really is.
Yeah.
Boy. I loved how the movie with Iron Man ended the way he started his career as Iron Man.
That's exactly what I thought too.
Yes.
I was like, the words. He said the words and how it all began. And then
Did you stay till the very, very, very end?
Yes. Yes.
And what's the last thing you hear on screen?
So Kev told me about this. Yeah. The sound in the cave.
The forging.
Yeah. It's the blacksmith.
Forging of Mach 1.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, obviously the big payoff is the kid from Iron Man 3 was at the funeral.
Yeah, Paul was
that's
like,
who that was?
That's who that was.
And I was like, that's the kid. That's what's it? Seems like Haley or something, right?
Yeah, that's him. That's him. And he's 19, and he will take over as Iron Man. I guarantee
that. Well, I still think they should do Riri Williams, but whatever. That's another conversation. That funeral scene was so. I was crying, just openly weeping, because it was so in line with. All of these people wouldn't even be here if it wasn't for him. Like, they would still exist, right? Sort of in a general sense. But when you think about it cinematically, these movies wouldn't exist if it weren't for Robert Downey Jr. and Iron Man. I'm going to cry. Because it was just so – it was so indicative of a decade of work and love and effort from that man who was like an anchor for us in the cinematic universe.
Not only that, but let's talk about the funeral again.
What okay, so I cry about, some more.
Like a little more. But the power of this movie, that honestly, we had Michelle Pfeiffer show up to stand there
and say nothing.
She has no line. Robert Samuel Jackson shows up to stand there and say nothing. Marissa Tomei shows up to stand there. Can you imagine, like, any movie that put that in? That it's like, I'm just going to have Michelle Pfeiffer stand in the background in my movie. And you just know any producer, okay, I know what I'm redlining first off. Because how often do we see that?
Right.
That it's like, oh, well, yes, Michelle Pfeiffer wanted to be here, but, you know, she was busy.
I think that's why
characters aren't there.
It says a lot about what this universe is to people and like how big this series and everything about the MCU has changed our culture. Like it's such an iconic thing. And it's so like this, I said it earlier on Twitter, but I spelt Avengers wrong, so I deleted it.
There was a hashtag Avengers
Avengers. But this I don't think we'll ever see something like this again. Like this is the biggest movie of our lives, and it's the biggest media event that we will ever be a part of that I think is
until Marvel does it again.
Well, I mean, obviously they can.
10 years from now.
But
let's all be back up.
In all of the history of film, no one has ever passed $1 billion on opening weekend.
Yeah.
And I don't think we see that again with even with the next storyline that they come up with, because we don't have the, you know, unless they build new anchors. But, like, there isn't another Robert Downey Jr. or Chris Evans. Like, those... I think that those, it's crazy to me to think like, you know, how much bigger can this get? And can we top what we've just seen in Endgame?
I don't know. Yeah, it has, it wouldn't top. It would have to change because that's, it's tough to even, because in the comics, the anchors have always been Iron, like the big three are Iron Man, Thor, and Captain America. It always has been that way since the inception of Marvel, right? Mm-hmm. And then Spider-Man, obviously. Sort of like the fourth foundational character, but I mean,
the side. It's like Iron Man, Cap, and Thor have always sort of
there's a
little triangle, and mm-hmm. Spider-Man is always there. He's like the always swinging around them,
right?
Sometimes you're being, I'm an Avenger today. No, I'm not. No.
But you have to evolve, and I think the comics have already started that evolution. We've got Riri Williams as Iron Man now. Mm-hmm. We've got Miles Morales Spider-Man, which they've already embraced in Into the Spider-Verse. Mm-hmm. You know, we had Thor pass the gauntlet on to his sister. Mm-hmm. Well, it was Jane, and then Angela has also been Thor. So we've seen that pass on, and then Captain America in the comics has gone on. It was Bucky for a while. Now it's been Falcon for a while. They did actually have a comic run too where old man Steve came back and fought some crime. So I don't want to rule that out.
But that did happen.
In the comics, like his super soldier serum failed and he got old, but he still fought crime because he was still a trained professional.
I mean, yeah,
then he got young again. Yeah.
And then he became
Hydra. Yeah.
Go ahead, Kev.
I was going to say, I wanted to mention this earlier, that whole elevator scene again.
Oh, yes.
Winter Soldier.
Oh. Twist.
And the fact that they did that callback like, where he whispered in the agent's ear and went, "Hail Hydra." I lost it because I was like, all that controversy that happened like a couple years ago
and,
on that.
And it's all the same guys in the elevator.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Like, it's perfect. I was ready for 2.0 fight.
Exactly. Yes.
But then he's like, "Hail Hydra." I was like, oh, my God, sneaky little bastard.
And I love how they all just like, oh. Oh, well, here you go, Cap.
Have fun. Cap's with us. We didn't know that.
Amazing. Yeah, yeah. Crossbones, seeing him like, huh, okay.
I loved it. So I do agree with Jeremy. It's going to be hard to ever make it like topping it, but I don't think that Marvel will try to top it in mm-hmm. that lingo, like in that mm-hmm. angle of, you know, here's how big we went. Now we're going to go even bigger. I think they're going to say, okay, this is where we're at. And now we've got this new guard. We have respectfully signed off the old guard. Mm-hmm. It's time to move forward. And we've got Captain Marvel. We've got Valkyrie. We've got T'Challa.
I want to see a Valkyrie movie so bad.
Yes. Oh, it's gonna be awesome! I can't wait. I mean, she's amazing. Like, I got so excited when I saw her. And then he made her king.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dope. King of the Asgardians. I when she showed up on a freaking Pegasus, I probably screamed again. I was like, where did she even get it? I don't care. I don't care where she got the Pegasus. I'm in love. I love her. I'm so happy that she showed up. And then that moment when Captain Marvel, well, first of all, her addressing Peter Parker was so in character with Carol Danvers that I just, yes,
that was sweet. So wonderful.
It was so her. It was so quintessentially Carol Danvers, but then also her picking up that gauntlet and being like, well, I have to get from point A to point B, and then here come Okoye, and I mean, it's everybody, mm-hmm. right? It's Scarlet Witch, mm-hmm. it's Valkyrie, like, and they're like, well, we'll get her there. I was like, yes, ladies.
As I'm saying, I love it. There were some heads exploding over that, I bet.
Oh
my God.
Yeah.
MSJWs.
pushing that woman agenda, whatever.
Yeah.
Well, like I said earlier, that didn't make new, I didn't see headlines of that. What the social media justice warriors were out over the Fat Thor thing, saying how terrible it was and how ashamed Why? Marvel should be.
He was not reduced in power. There was nothing about his weight that impacted his ability to be Thor.
They mm-hmm. the stuff that I was reading up on over it, and I was so surprised because I was like, you know, the jokes that were made and how they're fat shaming him, the jokes towards him, and like. I just went, okay, guys, like this is obviously he's gone through some stuff. He got bigger. And, so, and then they were like, oh, you're putting him down. Like, he's, oh, for fat people play video games and blah, blah, blah. Like, it just.
He wasn't playing video games. It was.
Fucking, he didn't play video games.
Yeah, right. But dude. They were associating, you know, all of a sudden he's fatter. So now there's games on the TV. So there was all that. Honestly. And I just went, you know what? I'm fat and I am not offended. Like, this is. I think it's really dumb.
Actually,
if they had diminished him by like saying he's fat, so now he is less than, mm-hmm. that would have been a problem. But the thing is he was just as powerful as he ever was when he had a, like a washboard ab.
I love that even in his suit he was fat.
See, that's actually the thing. I was kind of half expecting that this would be a joke and that. Then halfway through this, we're going to have the Thor gets in shape montage.
Yeah.
Oh my God, him, like, so
jogging
true.
Around Avengers compound and bench pressing a Quinjet or something. And I actually like that they didn't.
I know.
That like you said, he summons his armor and his armor is just
when he standing there yeah. and I really thought he would instantly transform back into his like fit self. But
oh,
then,
you mean when yes. When he summoned Mjolnir?
Like when the three of them walk out to fight Thanos, mm-hmm. and he's double wielding at the time, yeah. right. and he brings lightning down and his armor does the whole little like forms right. back over him, and that's it. That suddenly and there goes
his
everything.
Abs are part of his armor.
Right?
Yeah.
And but he still had a gut; it was still hanging out. And then like I was just like, all right, this is dope. Like
it
I
did braid
loved
his
it.
Beard though. Did you notice
yeah.
that?
Yeah.
Was, like,
I did.
The lightning braided his yeah. beard.
That's convenient.
It's awesome.
I love that. Of course, Tony Stark had to say it as Thor walked in the room. He said something about Lebowski, and I was like, "Thank you,
Thorbowski."
Thorbowski.
I
love it. Absolutely love that.
So, I wanted to talk just a moment about the death of Iron Man, Tony Stark, which I also think that he probably. Will have cameos in future movies because I am fairly certain that he was smart enough to create himself an AI. And
that's
or,
what he did in the comics. When and, he was presumed yeah. dead, he mm-hmm. was an AI.
Well, and yeah. we already know that he has multiple AIs kicking
exactly.
around.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so why not?
And we've shown he's got this great holograph technology.
Yeah.
That,
so I think he'll yeah. come back. I do think that in that kind of form. So I think they sure. still preserve him in that way. But I do think the decision to he's always a talker. He's always saying he's always got quibs. He's always got lines. I think that the one of the most important decisions was him not saying a word during his death. Like he just yeah. he just stared and he just was, you know, and I think that made it so much more powerful than him actually telling people, you know, anything at all. And having Peter talk to him and then having
well, what else was there even to say after? I mean, his final words were, "I am Iron Man."
Right.
And that's it.
Well, that's it. Yeah, I mean, but I think that that's, you know, being Tony Stark, who always has something to say, to have him silenced during all that time, just let it sink in. Like, that's, it just, that made you
It hit. Made it a super powerful moment.
Yeah.
I mean, if he said anything, no matter how cool, no matter how great, it just would have been that, his awesome final line, and the fact that he, I am Iron Man is his last line, but really that whole last scene, he doesn't have a last line.
Yeah.
Well, and if you think about it, his opening montage voiceover type thing that he does at the beginning of the film, that's really his death scene. That's what that's what he said when he thought he was dying. So those are what he perceived to be his final words. And you can take that and sort of think about that whilst, you know, he got what he asked for, one more miracle, right? And he made it all the way to his true end. And I mean, you could sort of hearken back to that and say, okay, I know what he would have said, and this is it. I truly think that the power of the Infinity Gauntlet stole his ability to speak too. So I don't know that he was not speaking as a choice.
Can I actually add two? Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. No, we.
Do you, I'm done.
You sure?
Continue. Yes.
Oh. I've got to admit, in Infinity War, his sort of super morphing nanite Iron Man suit kind of got on my nerves. And yet at the same time, I am amazed I did not see it coming that he uses it to steal the stones from Thanos's super nanite gauntlet that he built. That
I saw that coming. I was like, he's got the stones, you know? I'm inevitable.
The fact that he, like, okay, he does that and he snaps, and then we realize they're all gone. And I'm thinking, so like Tony has like a handful of them now, or Tony's grabbed them. And to see that literally the armor has
he's
grabbed
like holding them.
But the armor literally grabbed them and just turned the Iron Man gauntlet into a new Infinity Gauntlet.
I realized that he had made the new gauntlet. When it was basically Stark technology that formed that new gauntlet that was able to grow and shrink to the person who was putting it on, I was like, I could feel it. I didn't necessarily know it for sure, but I could feel that the potential was for the Infinity Stones to then also fit onto his Stark technology.
And one other weird note. Did everyone catch that when they make the gauntlet, they make it for the other hand?
For the right hand.
I didn't catch that.
Thanos has the left. He has the sinister gauntlet.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Theirs is the right gauntlet.
Huh. Interesting.
Huh.
Didn't know that. Good call.
Did you just call the left gauntlet a sinister gauntlet?
That is what sinister means.
I'm a left-handed person. I am offended.
Sinister actually means left-handed.
I know.
But
that's an antiquated.
It is. Perception. But. I agree. It is.
She's
but
all offended. I'm not sinister.
I am sinister, though. Oh, look at that. Look, I banished Peter of my sinister ability.
Did you snap?
No.
Did you snap your left hand? 25%
of us left.
Is that...
I don't believe she booted me from the call.
Yeah, how rude. Also, with the funeral scene, to have John Favreau there.
John Favreau.
Kind of thinking about just like, this is the man who started this universe as well. Like, he was the director of Iron Man. He actually, you know, without that thing doing well and making it as well as he did, like, this wouldn't exist at all.
I think it's amazing that he kind of put himself into Iron Man, the first movie, as this part. You know, just, we need an actor to do it, I'll do it, whatever. Mm-hmm. And yet they've kept him all through the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Mm-hmm.
Even though he's not directing any of them anymore, I think he's still getting producer credit.
Nice.
Yeah, he got producer credit.
Yeah, but the fact that Happy keeps coming back.
Well, Happy keeps
in a major way, too. Like, it looks like, I watched the Far From Home trailer again today.
Where she's in.
And and it looks like he has taken over kind of almost Stark Industries. Like, he has all of the all of the wealth and the finance, like all of the resources and everything from the private plane to, so I think he is, you know, at least in some way helping with running Stark.
He always did run some of it. And now that I don't know that Pepper's going to be popping up again, I think she's out as well.
Yeah, I think so.
She's going to go raise their daughter, you know. And was Happy, did Happy evaporate? I couldn't recall, and I didn't go and check.
We didn't see that.
Because I was wondering, watching Happy talk to Tony's daughter, I was thinking, is this the first time she's met Happy? Or has Happy known them? You know, because if he was gone, she would never have known him until now.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. She seemed like they could have had...
She seemed to know him.
Uncle. Yeah, they seemed acquainted.
Yeah. Like, he... Oh. That was one of the cats.
yep. Unpredictable. Yeah, I can see that.
Peter's being sidelined by his own felines.
Yep. Story of my life. But yeah, I don't know. For some reason, that whole scene at the end with, like, you want a cheeseburger? You know, your dad loved you. Yeah. That felt very much like Uncle Happy.
Yeah.
You know, mom is busy with the funeral and Uncle Happy is taking care of her.
Yeah. It's just that we hadn't seen him up until that moment. So I had to ask the question of, where was he? You know, was he running what was left of Stark Industries? Since clearly Tony was not. Tony and Pepper were living out there in this cabin. So I don't know. Also, we need to give a shout out to Paul Rudd, Ant-Man, Scott Lang. Like, good Lord, how you can pack a whole lot of emotional journey into not a lot of time. Because, I mean, he, you know, he's coming late into the game, and I thought they did a great job with him. You know, because Cassie, his daughter, is 5 years older, and he comes back. Which I think is something of a joke about how Paul Rudd never ages.
Yeah.
I think that's also a setup because, you know, in the comics, she is a superhero.
Yes, that's right.
The whole setup in Ant-Man and the Wasp was, oh, I could be your partner. I could be your new.
Mm-hmm.
And in the comic.
I love Hope.
They can all be there. I mean, I can totally see at this point we can do a Junior Avengers movie with the kid from Iron Man 3.
Mm-hmm.
And Stature is her superhero name because she grows.
I can't remember if that's
his daughter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think I'm pretty sure that's it.
Because there's another Van Dyne also.
Yeah.
She's another
Wasp.
Another Wasp, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they could do a whole Champions movie at this point.
I'm also wondering now,
because we don't know. No, just go on through. It's okay. We're not doing anything.
He's talking to his cat again. For those,
can you see him? Like, come.
No.
No, we saw the shaking.
It just makes it look like you're crazy.
Goblin is. I think I've told you.
His name's Goblin. First of all,
Goblin. Yes. It's from Trollhunters because he has a mustache. Yeah. When we found him, he was like this scrawny, like super scrawny guy. Who was out on the street, and we took him to the vet, and we were thinking, like, okay, he's probably looks like he's 10, 12 years old, and at least we can give him a good home for his last couple months or whatever. We just assumed he was sick and cancer ridden and everything. And the vet looked at him, no, he's perfectly healthy. In fact, look at his teeth, he's maybe 3. And I'm like, no way. And since getting here, he has put on like 7 or 8 pounds.
100 pounds.
But he doesn't realize that he's not like a 7-pound cat anymore. He's like 15 pounds barreling through the house, slamming into everything.
He's like, I'm still agile. Thunk.
Yes, exactly. I will lightly leap down to the desk and no one will notice.
the desk buckles.
Yeah.
We finally got Steve Rogers to say Avengers Assemble.
I know. And I was holding my breath.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how many other people in the theater, but when he said Avengers in that long pause, I was like,
Assemble? It was your Rocky Horror Picture moment of
anticipation. Kind of, yeah.
Anticipation. Okay, and when when Falcon comes through the over the speaker and is like on your left, and you see the ring appear, I was like, I hyperventilated a little bit. I got so excited because I was waiting. I was like, they're back. Where are they? They have to come save him. He's gonna die. Yeah.
Here's one indication you know this is gonna be a heavy movie. The movie right before the title screen shows, you have Captain America swear for the first time. He goes, let's kill that son of a bitch. Yeah. Boom. End game. Yeah. And it was like, whoa, it took him 10 years to finally even drop the B word.
Yeah, language. God. Language.
Yeah, exactly.
I love when he fights himself and the guy's like, I can do this all day. He's like, yeah, I know.
I know.
there's so many good Cap moments.
Cap was my favorite part of this, hands down. I mean, I've always been a Captain America guy, and Chris Evans' Captain America is just phenomenal.
Phenomenal.
Yeah.
I think it is Marvel Comics is screwing up big time that they're not just modeling Cap in the comics after him, that they keep trying to do. Yeah, but they keep trying to do like more mature, more gritty, more whatever, more stern. It's like, no, this is the Cap everybody loves. I think we've seen $1.2 billion worth of people love this version of Cap.
And hey, by far the strongest trilogy of the
MCU. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yeah, he's solid.
So there was Robert Downey Jr. was at the premiere, and they showed the movie, and then everybody came up on stage. And he says goodbye to everybody. Now, this made me bawl. Because it's his, I'm watching this, and he's like, all right, everybody, we got to get going. We got some after parties to go to and all this and other thing. And then the last thing he says before walking off was, all right, guys, I love you 3,000.
Yeah.
Aww. And I went, and I just started crying because I went, this is the last we're going to see of this is it.
That's kind of the last words he said, because that was his will and his holograph.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Hologram too. I said, love you 3,000.
But he said that, and I just went, and I got nostalgic because I was just like, holy shit, like 10 years. It's over.
I think it really says something. I've seen a couple articles talking about this since I'm sure all of you, I avoided every single thing I could before the movie came out.
I tried, but Slash Film ruined it for me.
Did they?
Yeah.
What did they ruin?
Those a-holes put a spoiler in the headline. It was the day before I went to go see it.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And I went, it was opening day. It was a Friday. And they posted,
what the hell?
Yep. They posted, who was the little boy? Who was the boy at the funeral?
At funeral. Yeah.
And I was are you fucking kidding me? Right. And I tweeted at him and I was just like, are you like, how big of a dick do you have to be, guys? It's opening day. And this is the headline that you're going to get for clicks. Like, really?
Yeah.
So I just,
did they respond?
No, because I think I think Doug was like, oh, I went to go try to find it. I couldn't find it. I hope they took it down.
They changed up the title or something.
Anytime you use a spoiler for a head. I mean, it was a small spoiler because I felt like someone was going to die.
It's the jerk spoiler.
Right.
There's a thing. I think I called it for a while. A soft spoiler when I'm not going to tell you what it is, but I'm like, wow, you'll never guess who the little boy is at XXX's funeral.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you fuckers just told.
As they say,
already here, right?
Yeah. Always.
But yeah, it's, you know, you've just spoiled this. We know there's a funeral. We know someone's going to die.
Yeah.
Like, I actually had someone telling me for Iron Man 3, it was like, oh my God, it was so weird finding out who the Mandarin really is. I'm like, you jerk. Yep. What the hell? I haven't seen it yet. And he's like, well, I didn't tell you. I'm like, but you told me his identity is fake.
Right.
You just totally set up.
You watched the whole thing. Yeah.
Knowing that there is going to be a big twist involving who the Mandarin really is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know? And that's just it. I hate crap like that. When people, you know, when people say, wow, we won't spoil it for you, but make sure you watch for this.
Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah. It's just, I was so upset with it because I went to almost 2 days. I was like, okay, because I didn't get to see it until yesterday at 5. I went Thursday and Friday. I was like, yes, I did it. I'm only got one day left. I could stay away from social media. Nothing's gonna happen. I open up my news app and boom, right there.
Sucks.
But yeah, because I got to admit, I was half wondering if they were going to really surprise us and not kill anyone.
I thought for the longest time. I was like,
we were all so convinced somebody has to die. Someone has to die. It's like, why does somebody have to die?
Because that's how you deliver some.
It is. But I mean, I totally believe these people could deliver gravity and everything without killing anyone.
But I did get kind of annoyed that nothing, everybody, like, it was classic comic book kind of stuff where it was like, all right, well, everything that happens that's dramatic in these movies doesn't matter because no one really dies. Like, there's no real danger. There's nothing that's really going to happen. So, like, to actually have it happen, it really was like, oh, man.
I guess so. I mean, I'm still, even now, feeling I feel like this 5-year gap, the emotional trauma of something like that, of people coming back after having been gone for 5 years, like, even though, a bunch of people who we thought maybe were dead didn't die, but that doesn't, I don't think that lessens sort of this horror aspect. To me, in a way, that's a horror aspect of somebody disappearing for 5 years, the death of hope over the course of 5 years, and then coming back to a place they don't even understand anymore. Like, you saw Scott Lang wandering down these streets that looked like they had fallen into complete disrepair, like post-apocalyptic almost, and he was like, what happened? Like, so there's a horror aspect there of how disorienting that would feel when two things fall entirely out of alignment. But yeah, technically they lived,
I have a feeling that when we see Spider-Man, I think we're going to get a lot of hand waving. Don't think about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because they carried
on with their lives.
Right? Yeah. And cause that's it. It is one of those events that we know realistically, this would just destroy everything.
And that's what they do in comics too. Like when
we rebuild.
Yeah. I think also like in that there's the trailer for it. And, you know, that makes you it kind of leads you to believe that he looks at his suit and he goes, oh, I don't want to take it because I just don't want to. I think he looks at the suit and goes, I don't want to be Spider-Man right now. And I think he doesn't.
I mean, he even says it in the first trailer that he's like, you know, I just want to be Peter. Mm-hmm. I just want to go to Europe. And
so I think that plays a big part of it is the fact that he's probably still dealing with a lot with losing his mentor, and, Tony. You know, losing Tony.
I mean, he thinks of Tony every time he looks at that suit. Mm-hmm. Like, there's no way he doesn't. And,
I mean, not just his mentor. Really, Tony was his father figure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, this is a guy who, I mean, they kind of broke it down because, okay, I'm sure like you, I rewatched all the movies.
Mm-hmm.
But in Civil War, he mentions that he's had the powers for 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
He's been Spider-Man for 6 months, which pretty much means if we see everything, Uncle Ben has died within the past 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
And so 6 months after Uncle Ben dies, who steps into my life? Tony Stark,
mm-hmm.
who, is like a mentor and who keeps showing up and obviously wants the best for me and the whole Stark internship thing and all this.
And then finally getting a hug and he's like, oh, this feels nice.
This is nice.
This is nice.
Which is a nice payoff also from the first Spider-Man movie. It's not a hug. Yeah. We're not there yet.
Yeah, we're not there yet.
Going for you. You'll make it awkward, kid.
Yeah. Still calling him Mr. Stark, though. Mr. Mm-hmm. Stark.
Yeah.
Yeah. That, and like seeing earnest. Everyone come through those little portals to the Doctor Strange.
Oh,
it was cool to see, but that was the one that fucking, like, I was already glassy-eyed during this whole movie, but seeing that reunion, I was done.
Oh, I cried so much.
Yeah.
The audience cheered when Spider-Man came out of the portal my theater. So.
Yeah.
Well, when he turned on kill mode.
Yes.
Yes.
He starts stabbing.
I got this. I don't got
it's a kill mode. It's a kill mode now.
Yeah. That was so awesome.
That
he was
battle
like, he was like, when am I ever going to need this?
Now.
No, stop. What does he call his suit? And I just watched Homecoming again. I actually came home and watched Homecoming.
AI, what's the AI's name?
Yeah, because I can't call you Liz because that would be weird.
Oh no!
I can't remember it. I just saw
Susan.
It
too. Is it Susan?
Susan, I don't remember.
I can look this up real quick.
But
all right, well, I know it's Jennifer Connelly. I know.
Coming back,
Karen.
Karen?
Sharon?
Karen
with a K.
Karen.
Mm-hmm.
Karen.
that battle was like two towers, like Lord of the Rings Two Towers epic.
It
to
was.
Me.
God, yeah. I need to watch it again so I can kind of see everything. You know,
yeah, we're Valkyrie coming in.
There's like, so much going on.
Ant-Man taking down just a. I was like, that guy's got to be tired.
Yeah, right. He's got to be really hungry because like doesn't he like burn through his metabolism
and his oxygen.
Yeah.
And then like Peter's face, because at one point he's got the gauntlet and he sort of just barely escaped, right? And Carol comes to take it off his hands and his face. Do you see his face? Because he's like, he looks like the battle has been going on for days. Like it's, I don't know. Because you see his face when he first arrives and he greets Tony and he's like, I woke up on a planet and Dr. Strange is there. And he looks mostly fine. But by that point, he truly looks like just battle worn. Like his eyes are puffy and they're blackened a little bit. And he's just like, I just felt that battle in his face, you know, like just the scale and the sheer almost hopelessness of it. Even with the tide having turned and with the odds being balanced out, and then you know, Carol destroys everything and it makes it okay. I was just a crying mess the whole entire time. I don't know that I'm ever gonna get over this movie. I just don't think it's possible.
I think all of us are gonna have to definitely see it again. Multiple times just to check it out.
Okay. I also wish we could have seen Okoye's response to Shuri and Chala coming back, because it broke her to lose them. You see it in Infinity War, and you know, knowing Okoye,
it's her job
knowing
to protect him.
Yeah, that's her whole life is to protect Wakanda, protect the throne, and to lose them both like that is so horrifying. But and so I wish we'd had that opportunity to see her watch them come back, you know, basically on the fields of Wakanda, right? Because that would have meant so much to her, you know.
I have a quick question.
But I loved that whole scene of them running to M'Baku's like in the front with like Steve. I'm like, it's M'Baku.
I have a quick question for the comic book curators here. Earth 616 was referenced on the sign where on the gate where the van is stored. What is Earth 616?
That's the main universe. That's the main Marvel universe.
Basically the same way like DC has Earth 1, Earth 2, Earth 3.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Marvel basically says that our main universe is 616.
So essentially they're confirming that there could be a multiverse.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we know that because Into the Spider-Verse confirms at least 5 different verses.
Right.
And but Miles Morales' also, verse is not 616.
But is that officially part of the MCU, though?
I think we also know Miles. As the professional, I say.
That's good, Kevin Feige.
Okay, in all fairness, Miles exists in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, though. We already know that.
Right, yes. He does, yes.
So, I mean, we haven't seen him, but he's been referenced.
Mm-hmm. And Gwen exists, too. The version of Gwen we have seen exists. And
does she? In the MCU?
Yeah, Gwen Stacy? Yeah, she was in Amazing Spider-Man. She dies. That's Gwen Stacy.
But that's not the MCU.
That's not MCU.
Oh, that's right. It's Sony.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. Damn.
That's we don't talk about it, Spider-Man.
Yeah, and it's like
whatever. I think Andrew Garfield was a way better Spider-Man than what's his face, the guy before.
Tobey Maguire.
High five.
I think he
could have been, but everything in Andrew Garfield's run just felt like tired retread to me.
For real. And I'm saying that, and I will come
to your house and fight you about it.
The Lizard is like my absolute favorite Spider-Man villain.
Mm-hmm.
Fair enough. Like there's a little lizard figure right back there. You can actually see him on the shelf.
Yeah, I can see
him.
Yeah. I have like 8 versions of the Lizard in different times. I did not like either of the Andrew Garfield movies.
Me neither. Yeah.
I loved every part of it that was Andrew Garfield and Emma Stone being cool together.
That's fine and dandy. But I didn't enjoy the suit itself. I didn't like that suit very much. But also at the same time, I'm pretty sure Andrew Garfield had it in his contract to take off the damn mask every 5 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
and then pick up a phone. Hey, Spidey here. What's up?
Just got my
mask off. Yeah, I just put it on, but took it off. Yeah. And my hair's perfect. It's awesome.
Okay, now we get to the root of the problem. You're jealous of Andrew Garfield because he's so awesome.
No, it's just that hair.
Let's also remember that Andrew Garfield was the first Meta fan. He was one of the first to show up in costume at a Comic-Con and then reveal himself and be like, I love Spider-Man!
No, I respect all that. I just don't think they made... I don't think that they were just...
I think just weren't he is kind movies. Of... He is like Matt Smith or Colin Baker as the Doctor. Mm-hmm. That they were actors. They're phenomenal actors.
Are we going to have to fight some more? You don't like Matt Smith as the Doctor?
No, I love Matt Smith as the Doctor. I think the problem is, though, I think Matt Smith had one of the crappiest runs as far as the stories he got. You know, I think Matt Smith could have done so much more.
I disagree because I thought Amy Pond's arc was spot on. Chef's kiss. Perfect. I loved it. So... Mm. Uh-huh. All right. That's another conversation.
Okay. Listen, that's a whole nother thing. But I will say this.
Next week on
it. Yeah. I'll
on
say this.
Brawl, Peter Parker versus Windrus.
Ooh. I wish I could make intergender fighting in that game. It would make it so much more interesting.
Okay.
We'll
just act it out in real life.
You know what's amazing is that we only have a month to go before we start phase 4.
Oh my god.
Like we
no, it's July. Isn't it
July?
Hold on, wait. Guys, it's amazing. We've got a couple months left before we start phase 4.
Okay.
You know? Wait, oh, you're not ready.
I'm never ready.
it'll be interesting.
I think one of the catches is, I started to say this before and sidetracked myself, but this movie was such a definite ending. It is so rare nowadays in life and in Hollywood, especially in Hollywood, to get something like this is the end. Mm-hmm. That we all pretty much know. Yeah, Robert Downey Jr. might come back as a hologram.
Will you be pissed if Tony Stark
is gone?
Will you be pissed if that happens? If he keeps coming back and showing up, or do you want him to be a definitive end, or do you want to keep seeing him in the MCU?
If he came back as a hologram and they stress the fact that this isn't Tony, that this is a limited hologram that can only interact in so many ways. If they keep bringing him back, it's going to feel cheap, and it is going to less than
yeah, don't like Star Wars Force Ghosted or anything, but like, sure, I could be fine with him
maybe
coming back once or twice.
Maybe one, like, save it for a couple years, and then have everyone go, like, one of those moments where they find him in his lab or something, and he's pre-recorded it and all that kind of stuff. To have
honestly,
like,
what I would love to see is if they do, however they decide to go with the armored hero, if it ends up being the kid, if they end up bringing in Riri Williams, if
they won't,
they pay
at most, they'll make it Shuri. They could make Shuri and Iron.
They could make Shuri
Ironheart.
But however they decide to do it,
yeah,
I would love to just see at the end when someone is digging through Tony Stark's lab, and the same way in Age of Ultron after they turn Jarvis into Vision, and then you see Tony Stark going through like his stack of AI programs, like, oh, we have this, Friday, let's use that one. I would love to see someone basically find a similar stack like that, and right on the top is one like Tony, just written out, and just leave. Ooh,
oh yeah, and wondering. Don't even just leave it. Don't like even go that. To it. Don't even
just,
do it. Don't.
Just end with that, with someone finding the AI card for Tony.
That'd be awesome.
That would be like something, make it not even say Tony, because then don't make it that obvious. Be like TS demo or something like that.
Whatever. Well, demo. In the same way that like they ended Guardians 2 with, I'm going to make my perfect man. I'll call him Adam.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we just end
I'm
on that.
I'm not sure where that's going to go.
Yeah.
If anywhere. Or
I think maybe he becomes the main villain for Phase 4.
I mean, the problem with Adam Warlock is he can basically make and unmake anything. Like, and he's batshit crazy. So, like, all this stuff that's been done in Endgame, Adam could undo that. He has that power in the comics, anyway. I don't know that they would ever do that in the movies, but I just don't know where to go with him after this.
Yeah, maybe limit that power.
I'm honestly hoping, since they're taking Thor, hopefully, Thor is going to be off with the Guardians.
Yeah.
Which hints to me that we're still going to do space stories. I mean, we've got Captain Marvel.
Yeah,
we've got Guardians,
for sure. Mm-hmm.
But what I would love to see, now that we have the rights back, I think the only place they can go from Thanos is Galactus.
But the only problem with that is that they said that, and he could just be lying, but Kevin Feige said that do not expect X-Men in Phase 4 at all.
But Galactus is an X-Men. Galactus is Fantastic Four.
Yeah, oh, that's okay. Fair enough. Yeah.
Yeah. But does that mean, like, should we expect Silver Surfer in Fifth? I mean, it's hard to have Galactus without Silver Surfer, in my opinion.
Yeah.
You could, but you could also, I mean, I would love to see them kind of do the same thing they did with Spider-Man. Like, what if Galactus shows up and it's Terax? You know? Mm. And in the same way that we had the Collector give us our little history lesson on the Infinity Stones, somebody could give a history lesson on Galactus.
No.
He's had all these past heralds, and we just get little shots of like Fire Lord and the Surfer, and you know.
That'd be fair, yeah. I mean, yeah. I definitely think this—that's the—that sort of galactic direction is where they're headed, because, and we know in the comics too that Captain Marvel spent a lot of time with the Guardians of the Galaxy in other area, you know, out there, not necessarily on Kree or in the, with the Nova Corps, but like out there. And so there's a lot of places you go. Do you remember the story, like the Black Mirror series? Because there's something there too. If you stare into the mirror, it imbues you with this great power. And I always thought that would be a really great film storyline as well, because Gamora ends up being the one who wields the power. But now I don't know what they're gonna do with Gamora now that we have this Gamora who doesn't, she's out of sync with everything else and has I guess like buggered off, right? Like I don't know where she is.
She's gone.
But I think
that'll probably be the plot for Guardians 3 then.
But it also
the hunt for Gamora.
It's an interesting setup though, because I mean we've kind of seen the past that this is what Gamora always wanted. She wanted Thanos dead. She wanted to be free of it all. Except now she's literally been thrown into a world where not only has this happened, technically on one level, it happened years ago. Like these people have all known you as Thanos' rebellious child for almost a decade.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, when you add in the 5 years later.
Yeah.
You know, all of them have known you. Nebula has known you for 9 years. Right.
This is a very different iteration of Nebula too that she's interacting with. I think perhaps closer to the kind of Nebula she always wanted to have. You know.
But how jarring must it be to just suddenly have that Nebula?
Yeah.
And not 100%. Have all the growth, all the. I mean, was it? Well, I try to kill you a couple times, and then we sort of become allies, and then we become friends. And then
sisters.
But I just love that. So what happens to us? Well, I try and kill you.
The Nebula storyline in this film was shockingly strong. I was very impressed.
I love the bit with her and Rhodey when they're talking about.
Yeah.
I wasn't always like this. Well, but when they're talking, when he's looking at her like metallic hand and she's
we do what we can with what we have. Yeah.
Yeah, that was a really cool part.
Yeah, it really was. I mean, I loved how they built these relationships through unlikely allies over the course of that 5 years. And you got to see that, right? Because Okoye, Nebula, Rhodey, and Carol were kind of the four that were checking in from different points in the galaxy, checking into Natasha. And I think they had sort of this brotherhood, siblinghood between them. Yeah. And also, quick Easter egg, when Carol turns to Rhodey and says good luck to him, I felt like that was a shout out to those of us who read the comics, because Rhodey and Carol dated in the comics. And I was like, where are we going to get this? Like, where's my ship? And I think that's probably as close as we'll get. But I liked that. I was like, they talk on the side. They're friends.
Can we actually talk how many friggin' beautiful little Easter eggs, callbacks, everything were in this movie?
So many.
Like, okay, when we go back to the 70s and the original Ant-Man helmet.
Oh yeah, that was amazing.
Oh my god, yes. I was like, there it is. And then
we also get the final Stan Lee cameo.
Yep. Oh god, the cameo. Mm-hmm.
I like the, it took me a minute to realize the whole New Asgard thing.
Oh really? You didn't get the sign?
Well, no, I saw it. Mm-hmm. Do you get the whole meaning behind it?
What do you mean?
Why this is New Asgard?
Oh,
don't you remember Odin's last words when they're sitting there on the cliff by the sea?
That's where they were headed.
The whole thing. Asgard isn't a place. It's a people. This could be Asgard.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, and then he just made it. Yeah, yeah.
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 That's where I fully expected they were heading at the end of Ragnarok. is I knew they're headed for Earth, but I think Thor was specifically thinking about that hill in Norway, like, or so, yeah. Yeah, like, uninhabited
in Norway.
Place in Norway. yeah, no, that made me sad all over again because they lost so many people on actual Asgard, and then they lost 50% to the snap, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah,
hypothetically.
Lost 50% of the snap after Thanos had already butchered half of them taking the stone. Mm-hmm. So, yes.
So they lost and lost and then lost again. It was really cool.
Look at the size of that village. It went from being like a whole race to there's what, maybe 500 people in this village.
Yeah.
If we're lucky, maybe that like one other Asgardian from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. who showed up a couple times and
randomly.
Did you remember that guy? There was like the guy who's like a school teacher now. And everyone's like, do you know Thor? It's like, oh, yeah. We're no, I don't know Thor. There's like 10,000 of us in the army. I was a freaking foot soldier.
Okay, let's wrap it up with, I guess, a score. I mean, is there...
I mean, we can all say five out of five. 5 out of 7. Perfect.
5 out of 7. Perfect. Perfect.
3,000 out of 5.
Oh, yeah, I love it. We love it 3,000.
Yes.
We love it 3,000.
There you go.
I'm going to go awesome. See it again and cry some more.
It cured my gout and my eczema.
My skin is clear. My crops are watered.
Yeah. I got out my good cry for the year.
It was so sad. I cried so much, but it was so, I was so happy. I was so happy.
There were so many like tears of joy in this.
Yeah,
like, exactly.
Yeah.
So yeah. Like all the reunions, like we talked about earlier, just everyone reuniting.
We knew they had to go. And if they had to go, this is the best way that they could have gone. Right. I think Kev, I told you the other day, I was like, everybody got what they wanted, you know, ultimately of the original team. And I can't imagine a kinder thing to do to them, knowing how much they've all suffered. Yeah. So
huge shout out to the directors who is a huge fan service film.
Oh my God.
The Russos,
everything
man,
paid off. Yeah. Everything paid off in the end. And it was worth it. Worth 10 years.
Things paid off just nonstop through this. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that's the other thing. Colleen and I, my partner, were talking about this. We were wondering if this is finally going to be the superhero movie that they give this an Oscar because, like, they gave The Last Lord of the Rings the Oscar.
Yeah.
Because, you know, that it's...
It had that feeling, too, at the time.
Yeah, that this isn't really a movie. This is a 10-year story that we've been telling you. That you could not have this movie without the 9 years before it.
I don't know how this movie doesn't win an Oscar for at least with that in consideration, you know? It's because it's such a feat that nobody has ever attempted and nobody has ever pulled off, and the way that they've done it. I mean, it's absolutely incredible. 10 years to tell a story and you nailed it.
Yeah.
It never feels like we're patching it together.
Right.
You know,
it never feels forced.
Yeah. Yeah. It doesn't feel like, okay, we're doing this to cover up that, you know?
Yeah.
Oh.
That much pressure on them to execute this way, this well, this cleanly is really, it's really something. They deserve all the Oscars.
I cannot imagine how much stress they must have been under for the past year.
And to film back to back in a year.
Yeah.
In 1 year. Yeah. They said how incredibly difficult it was. If they don't win, if they don't get the Oscar for this film, I would be highly surprised.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the Oscars don't always.
They're heidi tidy.
No,
but
they're jerks.
At the same time, it's just like, how do you compete with what they just did?
Yeah,
it's very difficult. I know a lot of people will put out a lot of great films, and they're probably very, you know, deserving of an Oscar for whatever they do.
Detective Pikachu.
Exactly. but when you put this up against everybody else, it's just like, I'm sorry, there's no competition. Like what was accomplished here this weekend? There's nothing that can top it this year for me, as far as story payoffs and direction and cinematography and CGI. I just don't know how you beat that. So
I don't know that it'll top me. I don't know that any, like, Logan was the movie that broke my heart and meant a whole lot to me, and I felt was but even it's like, this movie did such a good job. You know, like, I don't, now I'm not even sure what is my favorite Marvel-esque movie anymore, because I just, as much as I loved Logan, this film is, I don't know how to walk away from it. Like, I don't know if I'm ever going to have another movie experience like this one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just quick question as we're wrapping up. When the movie ended, what did you do?
I sat there and cried.
No, like after. Movie's done, credits rolled, lights have come up.
Went to the bathroom. Really? I mean, yeah.
Well, yes. Yes. I was in the bathroom, and I sat down in the bathroom, and I started crying again. And the lady next to me was like, "Are you okay?" And I was like, I'm fine. Yeah. I promise.
We got home, and it was like mild PTSD or something. Like, yes. So what do we do
silence.
Now?
Yeah. Yeah. I think that was, that was the thing. My wife, my son, and I sat there in complete silence. We went out in the parking lot, and it was complete silence. And then we finally got in the car, and we're like, "Wow!"
Yeah. Hey, thank you for doing that. By the way, I hate when people walk out of a theater going, "Holy shit, I can't believe!" and then just like spoil something.
No,
thank you for being the quiet people who walk to your car private area.
But it's like somebody really died. It's like a family member died. Yeah. I have friends, so my friends and I, we all saw it on Thursday in separate theaters, and then we kind of Facebooked each other. And all three of us, like, when I got home, I was so exhausted. I went to bed earlier than I probably had in the last 2 years. Yes. And then the next day, I slept like I had lost a family member. Like, I just, on and off, like, I slept like I was in mourning. And my friends, too. And I got sick. I don't know if you can tell my voice is a little deeper. I got sick yesterday because I honestly think it's like the end game illness. Like, it has affected me so badly. Yeah. So I've been, like, down for like the last 3 days from this film, and I want to go see it again. I'm like, but can I survive it?
I think I'm gonna try to go. Me. I think I'm gonna try to go see it on Wednesday, on my next day off.
So that's what we did. What did you do, Peter?
That's just it. We actually went to Target because we had to do like last minute grocery shopping.
Yeah.
And it was the same thing though. But like, we walked around, we started to talk about it, and then we're like, okay, we shouldn't talk about it because we don't want to blow something for somebody.
Right.
And so then we just didn't talk. We just sort of walked around our own coffee filters.
Yeah. You're just so somber and you're just.
Yeah. And we got home and it was kind of like, okay, it's Friday night. What do we do? Cause it feels disrespectful almost if we do anything, like if we put another movie on or something,
yeah.
You know? And yeah. I think we waited like 3 hours. We just kind of like quietly walked around the house looking at things, and then I actually put on Spider-Man Homecoming.
Nice.
So, just for like the fun and happiness, because that movie always cheers me up. Because it's just
lighthearted. Like, yeah.
And I always notice like another little detail every time I watch that movie that always makes me happy. Mm-hmm. So,
all right, let's wrap it up until Far From Home. Yeah, is that the next one we'll get together for?
Godzilla.
Oh yeah, Godzilla. Oh,
Godzilla looks good.
Oh, sorry. I'm sorry. I did not mean to disrespect you, Pete. I should have said this from the beginning. Pokemon. The next one we're viewing.
I'm up for it. I say we do it.
I'd watch. I'm gonna go see that weekend.
I'm definitely gonna go see it.
Is this not a gaming podcast?
It is. Yeah.
So. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We owe it to our gamer, your Pokemon group there. You give shout outs to it all the time, Jer.
Oh, yeah, the Pokemon.
The Lonely Pokemon Trainers Club.
Shut up.
There you go. You would be letting them down.
You're right. My bad.
What about all those Ryan Reynolds fans that listen to us? Mm-hmm. We got to do it for them.
That's true.
For the R. Reynolds.
All right, until next time. For all you Ryan Reynolds fans, this review is for you. thank you so much, Pete, for coming on. I guess I would normally say Windress, but she's a part of the staff now, so.
Yeah. I guess. I'm a regular. I need to add my bio to the website, I guess.
I know, you got to send me that, and a picture, and I'll put it up.
Make it real.
So, make it.
We're consuming everyone. You're next, Peter.
All right. Yeah. Until next time. You want
to be a co-host of Brainberry?
Just bring everybody.
I kind of like this, like, just ongoing recurring guest thing.
Yeah.
It's
fun.
Nice.
I have no responsibility, really. I just show up.
That's it.
That's pretty nice.
So I guess we'll see what the MCU has to hold. We've got not only Phase 4 starting with Spider-Man, but Kevin Feige also said that the TV shows that are going on to Disney Plus will play a big role now in the MCU as well. So that remains to be seen how well that does. But I'm very excited for the shows that they are bringing to Disney Plus, and of course everything else that's in their lineup. So until the next review, I'm Jeremy.
I'm Kevin.
I'm Wondrous.
I'm Peter.
I always, since Doug's not here, I'm completely thrown off.
Oh yeah, and Doug. Come on, Doug. Thanks a lot for showing up, bud.
Hey, I'm Doug. Doug, you know.
Hey, I'm Doug. I finished Game of Thrones.
You should make him do a review of Game of Thrones alone. Just him talking to himself about Game of
Thrones. You can probably do.